Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
I love this guy. There is nobody smarter or tougher than Stephen Miller. Stephen, say it.
Who's enjoying 100 golden days of America? President Trump has achieved the most secure border in American history. He's fighting violent crime. He's fighting the drug cartels. He's cutting your taxes. He's cutting wasteful spending. He's draining the swamp. He's standing up to the radical left. He's standing up to the communists. And he's making America stronger than it's ever been. President Trump will never stop fighting for you, your children, and your family. And President Trump will make sure that in this country, not illegal aliens, not criminals, not gangbangers, but American citizens come first, last, and always. Thank you. And thank you, President Trump, for being the greatest president in American history.
Stephen Miller always has a point to make, and he is very good at getting straight to it. The 100 days are upon us of the first part of Donald Trump's second term. And a lot of people, of course, have a lot of opinions about it. Let's get ours from our friend Dory Murdoch. Joins us once again, nationally syndicated columnist, Project 21 ambassador, and a Fox News contributor. Droy, thanks for being with us today. It's good to have you back.
It's great to be with you again, Annie.
So 100 days in, are you celebrating? Are you saying, you know, we need some more time? Is it a disaster? How do you feel about the president's administration?
Well, I think 100 days in, generally good. I give Trump tremendous credit for a couple big things. Number one, audacity, just the fact that he is taking on such major challenges. He's not doing what Daddy Bush said back when he was running for re-election. Bush Sr. was asked, what is your agenda for your re-election if you're in another term? He said, I'll just manage the inbox. That is not Donald J. Trump. He doesn't just manage the inbox. He is taking incredibly bold and in many cases very risky moves in many directions. I think he deserves a lot of credit for that. The tremendous energy, I mean, whether you like what Trump is doing or not, everybody has to admit, here's a guy who gets up early in the morning, goes to sleep late at night, and this guy works all day long, particularly compared to the last administration, which was, you know, like a 3 or 4 volt battery. This guy's the Energizer Bunny. And I think the transparency has also been tremendous. The amount of questions he answers, the access the press has to him and to people around him, the declassification of records, that sort of thing. There's a real emphasis on transparency on the part of this administration. As far as policies that have been successful, I think the fact the border has been basically sealed shut. I think I think border crossings in general are down about 93%. I think I saw that the gotaways are down 95%. The number of people just released to the border, I think one day it was just like 9 people total, something like this, versus thousands and thousands a day on the part of Biden when he was there. That's been a huge success. I think the overall attack on crime, including illegal alien criminals, that's been very positive. I think sort of the areas that I think obviously need more work, the tax cuts were moving in that direction, but I really wish that those were either already signed or at least have a bill being debated on the floors of the House and Senate at this point. It looks like they're still, weeks away from that. I wish that had happened earlier. I think the tariff thing is a big question mark. You know, if that leads to better trade deals and better terms for American exporters soon, that will be a very good thing. If this continues to drag on and not be settled one way or the other, I think it's going to delay the economy, and I should say restrain the economy and delay the return to prosperity, which is obviously something that's a big concern to a lot of people. And then areas where I think I'd really like to see a lot less of, and this ties into something that happened just the other day in Canada with the re-election of the Liberal Party, 5 more years of Canadian socialism, now under a man by the name of Carney, who's sort of like Justin Trudeau without the good looks. A big part of the reason that happened, I think, is that Trump, talking about turning Canada into the 51st state, and I think at one point said, this is not a worthy country, or words to that effect. He shouldn't be talking about our allies and our friends that way. And it's one thing to joke about it once or twice, but to say it over and over and over again. I think a lot of Canadians are very upset about this, and he just led to a situation that people thought, well, you know, we have a two-word response for Donald J. Trump, and it's not Merry Christmas or Happy Easter. And the result is the election of this man, Carney, and now 5 more years of big government socialism in Canada at a time where it looked like the Conservative Party actually was going to get in, and that's going to be delayed for at least 5 years. And that's a big negative for Canada, and big negative for us as their neighbor.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair assessment. I think it's a good look at the course of all of the different things that have taken place so far. I think that, you know, you're not going to go 100 days or any amount of days. If you're really trying to do things in a big, bold way, the way this administration is doing, you're going to make mistakes along the way. We know Donald Trump has, you know, a lot of people think it's his number one weakness, but I think it kind of comes along with his strength and the way he speaks and the willingness to kind of put people back on their heels a little bit. Do you feel as though the speed with which he has addressed so many things, has he taken on too much at one time? Or if you want to make transformational change before a midterm election, is this the right pace?
Yeah, I think that there is a positive to doing as many things as he has done all at once, which is it has left the left, that's small L and capital L, left the Democrat left and Democrats, incapable of knowing where to focus. If you said, hey, we're just going to work on the tax cut and do nothing else and spend 100% of our energy on the tax cut, then the left could say, all right, we're just going to scream and yell about taxes and maybe be able to mount a credible defense against what he wants to do. But when you've got the tax cut going on and tariffs and DEI and the border and Greenland and on and everything happened at one time, these people just don't know where to aim their rifles. That's probably a terrible analogy. You know, where to aim their slingshots. So let's use that one. Maybe so. a less dangerous analogy. I think that's part of the reason he's been able to be as effective as he has been is that the left is not able to coalesce against any one particular policy. So I think that's probably smart. I think you're right. There are some mistakes that will be made when you're going at that kind of a pace. But I think he's trying to get a whole lot done in not a lot of time. And I wish the sense of urgency were as great on Capitol Hill, where I wish they would be taking, again, the tax cuts should have happened already. And I think they ought to be taking his executive orders and turning them into statutes, which are much harder to reverse if, God forbid, we have President AOC or President Cory Booker in 2028 or 2029. It's going to be a lot harder for them to reverse what he's trying to do if these executive orders are turned into statutes rather than just executive orders, which can be reversed just with a stroke of a pen.
Yeah, I am excited to see that the House and the Senate can come together with their Republican majorities, even if they're very small. I'm excited to see them actually get it done. I was actually in D.C. this weekend and speaking with some congressmen while I was there, and they said it's going to be a really nasty fight and it's going to get done. So they're telling me that it's going to happen. I wonder if at the end of the day, are we still far enough away from the midterm elections where we can have these nasty fights, Republicans can call each other out, they figure out what they need to do to get it across the finish line, and it doesn't, you know, if they get the tax cuts and they make them permanent, does what takes place right now have a big bearing on what happens in the midterm election if they're able to accomplish it at the end of the day before the 4th of July?
Well, you say 4th of July. I really think this ought to be done by Memorial Day. I mean, these people, if they need to spend the rest of May and getting this wrapped up before summer begins, fine. But 4th of July is late. I mean, this thing ought to be wrapped up, and they ought to be able to sit down and focus on this, get this done next month. And it has to be retroactive to the first of the year, not delayed with these things kicking in next year. You want to have the economy up and running and strong, so that when the midterms roll along, the people say, great, Trumponomics is working great. This is terrific. I'm making more money. I got a raise. I got a promotion. I'm paying my bills. I'm happy. And I'm thrilled with what Trump has accomplished. And then the GOP will, I think, prevail at the midterms. If they don't, and the economy's weak, and I think we already saw that we're now in a negative quarter. This quarter's retracted 0.3%, in part because of all the question marks about tariffs and the other uncertainty. And the economy is not up and running. The GOP is going to do poorly in the midterms. What that means is House Speaker Hakeem Jeffries, it means impeachment 3, impeachment 4, impeachment 5, and Trump's entire agenda will shut down because the Democrats hate his guts and won't agree to pass National Peach Month if that's something he wants to have done. So these people need to move very quickly, and the sooner they can get the regulations and the deregulation and the tax cuts and the energy dominance, et cetera, underway, the more likely that this economy will be robust and charging ahead, and as a consequence, boost the chances for the GOP to hang on to the House and hang on to the Senate.
Dory Murdoch speaking with us right now. The president has said in regards to his 100 days that he really feels like everything they said they were going to do, they've either done or they've started doing. I would imagine that there's a lot of this stuff that by the end of a full year in office that we'll know pretty much if he's going to be successful on the majority of the things that he has started right now. We'll have a better idea of what way it's going. There's still a lot of time left on the clock for Donald Trump. Do you have any? Can you think yet on the other side of the tax cuts, on the other side of the tariff thing shaking out, hopefully the way the president sees it, on the other side of the border being secure and the deportations taking place? Is there anything on the other side of that yet in your brain for you?
Oh, that's a good question. Yeah, well, let's assume he gets his agenda through regarding all the stuff he's working on now. Yeah, there's going to be a lot to do. Healthcare is one. We still have not repealed or replaced Obamacare. I mean, I think when he came in, he slowed it down and shrank Obamacare about as much as he could. But we still have not implemented a Republican free market, limited government-oriented healthcare policy. So I'd certainly work on that. We need a lot of work in an enormous amount of work done in education. I just saw the other day a group called Wire Points, I think, which is a think tank in Chicago, right next to where you are. They determined that I think it's now 80 different schools in Illinois where there are no students who are proficient in math, I think it is. I believe it's math, not English. Maybe it's both. But 80, I think they're high schools, if I'm not mistaken, throughout the state of Illinois. So it's not just Chicago. And then you've got J.B. Pritzker, the governor of Illinois, running around screaming and yelling and holding himself up as some kind of a role model to people, which he's not. And so I think education, school choice, maintaining high standards and striving for academic excellence in schools, that's something that ought to be happening from kindergarten all the way through graduate school. So you put a lot of effort into that. And just generally speaking, the idea of innovation and creativity and having an economy that is able to come up with new products and new services and so on, and providing whatever we need beyond economics, beyond tax cuts, to make it possible for entrepreneurs and innovators to succeed in the society, whether it's either more deregulation or more access to scientific research or whatever it might be. Those are three areas I'd look at beyond what's sort of being debated on Capitol right now.
Yeah, there's so much work that can be done still. And I think that it's exciting to know that maybe we'll be in a position to see some of that take place. But some really key important steps for, like you said, Congress to get on board with and get done, and for the president to continue pushing through his executive office. Dory, we're always grateful to have you here on the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for the time today.
It's great to be with you again, Annie. Thanks very much.
Take care. Bye-bye. Dory Murdoch, a Project 21 ambassador, a nationally syndicated columnist, and a Fox News contributor with us each Wednesday. Let's take a quick break. Go vote in the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. Grade the first 100 days of the Trump administration. We want to know how you feel about how the president is doing. And if you're interested, should we take some phone calls on this? What do you say? You want to call in and give the president and the administration a grade? I'm going to give you the phone number here right now. You can stick it in your phone. And if you're not going to call today, put it in your phone and save it for the next time we open the phones. 100 days in, how do you feel about Donald Trump's administration and its successes and failures? 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. One more time, 314-241-9797. Your calls next.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app, and this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It's good to be back in the studio here with Brad and Ryan and Ethan. Thank you guys for everything that you did back here to help make this trip to Washington, D.C. that I took possible. We'll talk about it in the 2 o'clock hour. You guys can ask me. You guys were asking me a ton of questions before the show started. I'm like, ask me on the air. And we'll talk about that with you as well at 2 o'clock. We said the YouTube live chat poll for today is to grade the first 100 days of the Trump administration, A, B, slash C, D, or F. You got to call us and tell us what you think. You can also join us on the Annie Fry YouTube channel because we're broadcasting live there as we do each day. And you can vote on the poll, which is in the live chat portion of today's live broadcast. And if you subscribe, you got to wait 5 minutes and then you can start commenting and you can leave us a thought there. And Ryan, why don't you highlight some of those in between calls here, and we'll get people from on air and online. So let's get to the phone calls here. If you want to join us, we got an open line for you, 314-241-9797. Let's start with Richard. Richard, thank you for calling the Annie Fry Show. Your thoughts on the grade for the first 100 days.
A++. He's been doing a great job. He's doing what he said he was going to do. I know that getting all the illegals out in one day wasn't going to happen. It's going to have to be a process. He's doing the right thing. He's starting with the worst ones, you know, starting at the top, I guess, with the worst ones, and just going to work down. And I can't thank him enough. He's an amazing man. I hope I have the energy at 78 that he does.
Yeah, that's for sure. Thank you, Richard, for the phone call. It is crazy that he is 78 years old.
It is crazy.
I wonder if he feels 100 days into his presidency 78. Like maybe before he was doing the presidential grind. Like in between.
Oh boy, it's getting
because
back
he was
to, yeah.
74 when yeah. he left last time. I wonder if 78 feels a little more 78 than 74 did when he left.
The USA is back, baby. That's not me. That's JR. We said we were going to read your comments. That's A, someone had to bring the USA back. That's a comment from JR. You can leave your comment by typing in Annie Fry on YouTube, and we'll be looking at those as we go.
Let's get to Doug. Doug, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. Your grade on the president's first 100 days.
I'd have to say a solid B.
Solid B. Okay. Why do you give him a passing grade? We'll start there.
Because he did a great job. He's done a great job. Absolutely fantastic. But in my opinion, if he's riding a bike, he's sticking a stick through his own spokes. with all of his crazy tweets and trolling. He just needs to do the job of a president. He doesn't need to do all this trolling stuff. And his approval rating would be 20% higher if he just gave his tweeting duties to someone else.
Doug, let me ask you this question. Let's say from here on out, President Trump lets somebody handle his Truth account, which ends up getting reposted to X. And everything was A+, presidential, very, very professional and clean and classy. You think that his numbers would go up?
Basically, I say, give the opposition nothing. Give them no oxygen. Let them fight against his policies, not his crazy.
Do you really think that they would be like, oh, he's talking policy now, we will too? I mean, the thing about it, and I've come around to this because I don't really love the way he says some things either. But nothing that he does is going to change the way his opposition acts, in my opinion.
It's never, his opposition has never been greater.
You think so? All right. Well, I appreciate that. B from Doug. Appreciate your phone call. Thanks for reaching out to us. What do you think about that?
I think that he's probably talking about those middle voters who probably lean right a little bit, but they don't love the rhetoric. At this point, though, that's so baked into the cake that if you would have voted for him in 2024, you knew that that was already there. So I don't think people are going, oh, gosh, I voted for the policies, but I can't believe he's saying these things.
I think everybody has had the opportunity last November to decide how much they care about that.
Exactly.
Here's what I'm going to say. And this is maybe something I haven't said before. They made him this way. They put him in a position where he's kind of a bit dog and that he's going to fight back, because that's the way that they have treated him is so grossly, un-Americanly unfair that I'm kind of to the point where I'm like, this is what you get.
This might be controversial too, but compared to the first term, I feel like he's been really tame.
Oh, gosh. I mean, maybe, yeah. You got another quote from somebody, comment online?
Just because we went with the B here. Chris also says B. He says, hard one, but I said B. He's accomplished more than any other president, but I was hoping for more about inside trading, Epstein, exposed corruption, Biden cover-up, etc.
All right, let's get to, let me see who's next here. Tom, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. Grade the president's first 100 days. What do you think?
First 100 days, I'd have to give him an A. I'm just loving everything that he's accomplished so far. The border, I knew he'd close that down in no time.
Almost in literally no time. You're right about that, Tom.
Yeah, definitely. Also, you know, I think he's pretty much more tilled than what he was when he first, you know, came out. And he just kind of shocked people, and it's just taken a while. And I don't watch, I'm not on X, so I'm not getting that, what this other gentleman is. But yeah. I really like how he seems more chilled to me, and he's just working hard.
Yeah.
And he's got the right people. Oh, my God. Some of these people are incredible.
Yeah, he picked the staff this time that was the right staff to get the message out. Tom, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Uh-huh. You're welcome.
Bye-bye. You know, I think this is the other reason I push back hard on the like, oh, but the mean tweets thing. Most of the tweets are just pretty funny. They're not. I mean, like, I understand why some people might read them as mean. But these people have zero sense of humor.
The rhetoric this time, it seems a little bit more deliberately poking the bear. Because last time it was, you remember Kofif and Horseface and all that stuff from the first term. This one, it's not as personal.
It's Kofefi.
Okay. Well, this one.
I had to think about, I was like, what was that?
It's more, hey, could I run for a third term?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Wink, wink.
And you're like, well.
Let's get to Dan here. Dan, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. Maybe roll your window up or take us off speakerphone. But good to have you here. What do you think about the president's first 100 days?
Hey, yeah, absolutely. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yep, you're good. Thanks, Dan.
Okay. Hey, so yeah, I'm going to give him a C-. I'm a Trump supporter, voted for him twice, or three times, I guess, really. So at the bottom line is I'm a 27-year military vet. I'm also a civil servant. I think what he's done the last 100 days has been he created so much work for us. I know you guys don't hear this kind of stuff in the news. We are just flapping around trying to figure out what's going on. We're hardly able to do the mission.
More specific about like what you're talking about, what mission, what kind of work?
So I don't necessarily want to get into that.
I guess we'll just have to take your word for it.
Well, I think the bottom line is with the Doge thing, you know, it is what it is. I get it. You know, we all have to cut, and we're cutting 10% whatever isn't the end of the world from the DOD. I think just the way they went about doing it, it could have been done much, much softer. Hell, he didn't have to do a whole lot to make his first 100 days way better than the last 100 days of Biden. Mm. He could have just sat back and done nothing. But, you know, I think had he just concentrated on immigration, had he concentrated on some other things that weren't just so slashing, you know, the Doge thing, that's fine. You know, you can do what you need to do. Cutting USAID completely, I thought was a little crazy because they do a lot of good things. I just think there's a lot of stuff going on that's really, really tough to deal with. And coming from the military, you know, he's made some good changes there. I'm not going to say anything too bad about that.
Dan, think
there's some issues there.
From all of us here, thank you for your service. We appreciate you, what you've done, and the sacrifice. We always appreciate that and want to make sure that we communicate that to you as well. Thanks for calling today.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. You know, I bet you that for a lot of federal workers out there, when he says that it's been chaos, I bet that is an experience that is shared by many people in the federal government, that it has just been like, what is going on?
Yeah, because it's the most consistent job in the world up until the last 100 days.
I mean, definitely what Donald Trump has done has been disruptive.
Absolutely. That's why he was elected, though.
Sometimes you got to, like, you know, shake everything apart to see what needs to stay. Is there a better way to do it? Probably not with the political calendar.
Right.
You got to go in. You got to go hard. You got to get everything done that you need to get done before people are like, oh, but the election's coming up, which there are people already starting to talk about that. Let's get to Pat here. Pat, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. What do you think about the president's 100 days?
I would give him an A- overall. He gets an A++ on the border and immigration issues. His downfall has been his typical saying too much in regards to Canada and the 51st state. That's just non-productive. And that gave his detractors just that much more ammunition.
Thanks for the call, Pat. An A- overall. I like what Pat's saying there. It's kind of similar to what DeRoy said. I think that maybe tomorrow's poll should be, has Donald Trump mishandled Canada?
That's a good question.
I would like to know what people think. And I'd like to know what I think about that. I'd have to actually spend some time with that thought.
You have 24 hours.
Remind me. Real quick, Scott, thanks for calling the Annie Fry Show. Grade President Trump's first 100 days.
Hey, this is Scott Hardiman. How are you today?
Scott!
Hi!
Dr. Hardiman, who's worked on all, like, my husband, you guys.
Yeah, I
you
just
know
saw
as well.
Dr. Scott Hardiman. Hello.
Well, your opinion on this is very valuable to us. How do you feel about the president's first 100 days?
So I guess I would just maybe segment that, just a quick comment on the healthcare stuff. I just picked up on your last guest that was on and comment about some trend for the future of healthcare. I think he's made some good decisions in the healthcare arena, not the least of which is Marty McCary. I think the questions we have kind of as practicing physicians is if the Republicans are going to run from healthcare or embrace it and listen to some of the physicians and the doctors' caucus that are there. You know, after his last presidency, or at the tail end of that, there was a really groundswell, a grassroots effort of working with physicians that are out practicing, not just in the large academic centers or corporate practice, but those of us seeing patients every day, trying to, you know, get them to not run away from healthcare, but to listen to us. There's this constant sort of drumbeat of repeal Obamacare and replace it with something else. There's some decent provisions in legislation like that, and things like no pre-existing conditions and keeping your kids on your insurance. I don't really know that the economics of that would really move the needle one way or the other. But I'll tell you, as physicians, just when I talk to my colleagues, we're getting some mixed messages out there. You know, in one breath we hear at Medicare Advantage programs or fraud with corruption. And then next thing they turn around and give big pay increases to those, which is just moving taxpayer dollars in the private insurance sector. The other one is in the arena of drug pricing. So there's been some lukewarm movement there. A lot of activity, you know, at his last presidency to try and take on the PBMs, the pharmacy benefit managers out there, to try and identify why drug costs and availability are just so sketchy in this country right now. And they're just not doing a whole lot with that right now. So I'm hopeful that, obviously he's had a big 100 days here and got a lot on his plate, but I'm hopeful that healthcare is not something that gets pushed aside and that they, you know, listen to physicians going forward. They have a number of great physicians in Congress right now that have been practicing physicians, and they have resources to reach out to those of us in the communities as well. And there's some good things that could be done to try and make healthcare way more affordable and way more cost effective, including drug pricing.
We're speaking with Dr. Hardiman, who has been on the show many, many times before. I'm so glad you called in to talk about how you feel the Trump administration is doing so far. When in the beginning of this hour, we were speaking with Dory Murdoch, and I said, Donald Trump said, I think it was yesterday or maybe the day before, he was asked, you know, how do you feel about how much progress you're making? And he said, you know, everything that we said we were going to do, we've either started and we're working on it actively, or we've already done it. And I asked DeRoy, you know, on the other side of that, if in a year we've accomplished, or at least we know what worked and what didn't, and we can move on from that, what do you want to see on the other side? And he said healthcare. He said that he wants to see Republicans, just like what you're saying right now, take a bite out of this. Do you think that there's the possibility? Do we have to break apart the whole insurance healthcare system in order to put something back in place that works?
No, I don't think so. I think there's definitely places they get hung up about, just in the, you know, the sound bites out there. If we're going to cut Medicare, we're going to cut Medicaid, we're going to defund this, we're going to move the money from one segment to the other. I think one thing that needs to be identified is just the stark reality of the fact that the independent physician, which you probably know, I trumpet that all the time.
Yeah.
We try to deliver a high quality product at a more cost effective point than what is done in the large corporate practice of medicine. And to a large degree, corporate practice of medicine is not really legal in some respects. And so I think you don't need to dismantle everything to identify and incentivize physicians to come out of medical school and residency and go into practice, hang up a shingle, and take good care of patients, especially in the rural communities. That economically needs to be done in such a way that their reimbursements are handed to them in a way that makes their practices financially stable. And, you know, Medicare, you know, they just sort of reposition money every year. There's another 2.8% Medicare cut that came to physician practices. Now, hospital employed physicians and or corporate physicians have seen cost of living increases every year, but the independent physician is getting reimbursed on levels of early 1990s, 1993, I think. And so those cuts start to hurt, especially now as cost of goods are up. It costs us a lot of money to buy insurance for our employees, and employees want raises, and, you know, everything goes up. But you reach that point where, you know, you compromise quality of care if you try and see too many people, move too many people to the system like that. And so I think they don't need to break the whole system apart. They need to decide where it's important to spend the money and identify what will deliver high quality care at a lower cost point and give people access to their physicians. Giving someone a card that they have an insurance card, but there's no physicians, like Medicaid, for instance. I mean, you get a card that has potential providers on there or doctors on there, but you have a little access to them. And so it doesn't do you any good to have those funds to reimburse for. You've got to have more physicians taking these different plans of insurance. And that just boils down to simple economics.
Well, it's definitely something that I think a lot of people perk up to when they hear about it, because I've probably a very bipartisan agreement that we need to do something better with healthcare. And we know, Dr. Hardiman, that you have a ton of experience in that realm. So thank you for calling. Always good to hear your voice.
I appreciate it. It's great to talk to you all. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye. Dr. Scott Hardiman.
Can we have Stewart's American Mortgage and Grasser Electric send Dr. Hardiman to D.C.?
Hey. Now, yeah, that's fine.
That'd be great.
I'm back. That's a really interesting thing. It's an interesting thing to think about the other side of the completion of the things that are in motion right now. We should talk about that when we come back, because 100 days. He's got 3 years and 265 days left. Let's talk about that when we come back. You can go into the Annie Fry YouTube channel and vote. And of course, leave a comment. If you subscribe to the channel, you can tell us what you think. You got another one you want to take us out here with another comment from one of the listener commenters on our Annie Fry YouTube channel?
This is Jack B. He says, I'm an A++++. He has come in and thrown so many balls in the air to juggle that Dems can't focus. Probably good for the chiropractic industry.
Thanks, Jack. We'll take a quick break and get to more of your comments next. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. So we have the poll up, grading the president's first 100 days. And I think it's an interesting thought to exercise to think about. What are the promises that he made during the campaign? What are the big ones? The border. Tariffs. It's a beautiful word.
Yeah.
Which was an economic, a golden age in America, which is what he said multiple times. What other things did he promise?
Oh, gosh. That's a good question, because I would go right to border, because that's the big one that he was running on over and over and over. But he did campaign on some international issues, too.
DEI.
Ending the war. Yeah. DEI. Ending the war in Ukraine. Ending the war in Israel / Palestine.
I would say on Israel, but.
You go back to like his make America rich again. Make America safe again.
I mean, MAHA was a big
America
one.
Make America healthy again. So anything that would fall under those categories, you know, safe again, rich again, he campaigned on tariffs for sure. But he also campaigned on getting the economy back going in the right direction, lowering the price of groceries.
Doge.
Doge was a big one. Yeah, he did talk about that.
Is there anything that, I mean, if for Doge, for instance, has that been a success?
Yeah, it's been a success. I think everybody was expecting it to go way faster. Everybody was expecting it. The minute you get in there, you go, oh, my gosh, we could just cut this and save $1 trillion. And it's like, no, you can't do that. So there were people saying you should be moving faster and others saying, well, you should be doing it more with a scalpel. And in fact, I think this is what the scalpel looks like, because you could just come in with a blunt object and just smash. But that's not what they're doing. They are cutting thing by thing by thing, line by line by line.
Also, if you're too careful, you're going to miss opportunities to cut. So, with the one caller that we had that said he gave him a C-, he's a federal worker, he's a military, I don't know if he said veteran, if he, I guess he was active. He said it's been very chaotic. And I think that has a lot to do with cuts. Like, you cut something, and if you cut a little bit too much, you go, oh, we need to put that back. I think I hear the criticism that people thought it would be bigger than it is, but I don't know if he's fully been able to dive into every department. He's, you know, he basically said he was going to set up the apparatus to do the work and that it would be an ongoing thing, and that he's going to be involved in an ongoing fashion, but just not that the key part is setting up the system to seek out the waste, fraud, and abuse. So I feel like we'll have these things pop up regularly about they're spending here, they're spending there. Rand Paul puts out a list every December 23rd or something like that. His airing of grievances of what the government is spending money on. What's on the other side of this, though? If he delivers the border, and he has, if he continues to deliver on the deportations. I believe he will. If, you know, you've said this before, Ryan, and it's exactly right. If they get the tax cuts made permanent in December, it's technically in time. All you've really done is waste political calendar and political time to do other things. Get it done. The reason to get it done is so that you can move on to do other things. Like, this is an obvious thing that you have to do. Go do it. You get the tax cuts in, he gets the trade deals worked out, you know, in large part, and I would imagine there's a snowball effect that's going to happen with those. The Doge cuts are made permanent. What's on the other side of those big key issues that we haven't really talked about yet? I think healthcare is a big one.
Healthcare is a big one. I don't know exactly how they tackle healthcare. I mean, that's such a big topic, and we're not really, it's not part of the national conversation right now. I think it should be. I'm glad Dr. Hardiman called in, because that should be a part of the conversation. But one big thing that I know we're all watching for it. We're all going, time's ticking, but that really could become the story. If we get Terrace figured out, great. That could happen within a couple weeks. You know, that could, we could have deals like crazy there. Tariff situation isn't going to permanently go back to where it was, but he could have that figured out. So a lot of this stuff, Doge is going to continue. Okay. On the other side of it, like you said, though, there could be a year from now, we could be talking about arrests. We could be talking about major crimes that...
So you're talking about, like, justice reform and prosecutions.
We're talking about DOJ. We're talking about FBI. We're talking about DNI.
My big issue that I'd like to see in full force is school choice. The transformation of the public education system. You do not, school choice does not mean that public education goes away. It just means that public schools have to be attractive enough that people choose them. And if you're saying that they won't be attractive enough that people will choose them, so we force kids to go to them, make that make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me. To see the president start the ball rolling on, you know, the dismantling of the Department of Education, which I think is the right move if it continues in a transformative way towards how we do education, that the number one way to do that is to do school choice. I want people to be able to take the value of their tax dollars and invest it in their own kids. Where the government shouldn't get to look at my tax dollars and say, you only get to benefit with your children from your tax dollars if you use them in this place. When I don't send my four kids to the public school, there are four desks that are now open. A classroom is one student smaller. The teacher-to-student ratio is one student better for the rest of the kids in there, not using the resources, not using the facilities. Give me the right to use my property tax dollars that go to education for my kids while my kids are in school. And then after that, contribute to the public education. Give us your thoughts on our comments in the YouTube channel. We'll be right back.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.